Vendor Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 288. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight we have Harrison Milfield.
What's up, everybody?
And Holly Falmouth.
Hey, guys.
On tonight's show, we have three main sections for you. We're going to start off with what we've all been playing. We're going to then move on to the Nintendo news. And finally, we're going to finish on a piece about Portable Zelda Retrospective. So let's begin with what we've been playing. Let's do a quick round table Pokemon X and Y catch up. First of all, are we all still playing it?
I've finished it, but I'm still trying to find ways to actually still play it without starting over my game. Can I just say right now, even though this, like, again, to kick a dead horse, reiterate saying this is my first Pokemon game in 10 years, I felt like the Elite Four in this one were the easiest thing I've ever matched, and this was with my level cap, this was my Pokemon probably around averaging about 65 to 70, and yeah, you could just dog me on that, but it's just, I mean, the only thing I had trouble was the Pokemon League champion, but, so far now, I mean, I've just been kind of leveling up different Pokemon right now and just trying to figure out how to kind of continue this, and just, it's kind of a game I wish had a second quest.
Yeah. Before we dive too much into that, Holly, have you finished the Elite Four and the Champion yet?
I have not. I've gotten 7 gym badges, and for a while I was just exploring to my heart's content and just taking the game, you know, at a slow pace like I mentioned a couple episodes ago. But now I'm actually kind of impatient to beat it, so I have begun to just start plowing through it. I'm just about to face the final gym and then move on to the Elite Four.
Oh, brilliant. I bet those taking your time and doing the extra training and catching mons probably helped out quite a bit in the long run.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to have to agree with you, Harrison. No, I'm not sure how much you can spoil off Pokemon. They have kept a very similar structure over the years. But I was a little bit disappointed in the challenge towards the end of the game, especially like the Elite Four and the Champion. And saying I'm not entirely sure if it was the actual difficulty of the game, but I think just in terms of the story and how it was presented to you, it was kind of just downplayed. They kind of forget to mention about your kind of Pokemon quest to beat the 8 gyms and become, you know, the champion. It's not really mentioned that much in terms of, I remember in the original games, you know, that was your main goal. It's to become, you know, the best trainer.
The best that ever was. Yeah, the best that ever
exactly.
was.
Exactly. But this game, everyone just seems a bit too friendly. Everyone just wants to be your friend, and when you beat them, they're just so happy they managed to take part.
Even Team Flair seems to, I mean, their arguments towards you just seem tame by comparison to, like, even Team Rocket, but I don't know, I think just when I realized, when I asked my friend when I'm playing, I was like, where's Team Rocket? It's like, oh, this is a new one, that's Team Flair. I'm like, who the hell is Team Flair?
Yeah. Yeah, there's not so much post-game stuff or post-game content in this, but because of it is a Pokemon game and because it does have the new online stuff, at least you got that to fall back on.
I know, I just kind of wish, I mean, when I played Gold and Silver, it amazed me that you could actually go through the Kanto region and, you know, from the first, like, from Red and Blue and Yellow and just revisit that. If, I don't know, like, there was a difference between, like, you could the Johto or the Kanto regions from, you could probably visit between, like, X and Y. I mean, put something in there to kind of, I mean, pad it out, but yet you did, like you said, you have online there to kind of keep yourself busy there. But when it got into me right now, I mean, I've already caught a few legendaries, or the rare Pokemon, to be exact, was, like, you know, when I got was Mewtwo. I got my legendary bird, which was an Articuno, which, of course, you know, is based on what starter Pokemon you have first. I think it's, if you have Chespin, you'll be encountering Articuno. If you have Fennekin, I think it's Zapdos. It's not related to fire, whatever, like, cross comparison. And then, of course, Froakle, whatever it was with Zapdos, so,
Moltres.
Moltres, yeah, I'm getting this mixed up so badly, but no, yeah, and I will tell you now, it really annoyed me because when trying to catch any of these legendary birds, being that is, well, this is how it goes, you know, You beat the game, and you'll encounter Articuno or any of these legendary birds at random. And before you can battle them, they flee. You have to encounter this thing 10 more times in order to see it in a set spot where you can battle it and catch it. And it really came difficult to the point where you would go to your Pokedex, find where its, you know, habitat is, you go there. You get there, check your Pokedex, it's on the other side of the map. Now, by general convention, or wisdom, or conventional wisdom says, oh, why don't you use fly, whatever, to get there? That may be the case, but it would end up moving, you know, even if you fly to a certain location to, you know, get to one end of the map, it disappears. And
oh, yeah, I think this is, ironically, Gold and Silver introduced this, I think, with the legendary dogs, and how he had to capture them down.
Ah, yes, God, was that bad. That was really, really bad. But no, I mean, not like a bad design flaw, it just... It began a long, arduous 6 hours worth of trying to do this, because what I would usually do is I just transfer the central hub of the map, like, to Lumiose City, just because if I do that, I could just ride the bike around there, but half the time, it's just, oh, it's on the other side of the sorry, I moved to the other side of the map, you gotta do about 10 minutes worth of walking to get there. Oh, I'm back on the other side of the map. It's a game of cat and mouse.
Well, no, I did pick out from that, so you have used the bike now.
Yes, finally, and I do enjoy the fact of the music that comes along with it.
Yeah, I've kind of tried it trivially, but it just kind of seems to be that kind of middle wheel. The skates or just walking normally or running are better suited to most situations. But yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a huge amount of supposed contents. Yeah, the fact that it does have these online hooks, and it seems like it's even got hooks for, like, official tourneys from the main menu. So when they start utilising these sort of features, yeah, I think Pokemon X and Y is going to have a lot of legs to it.
Now, you've finished it, haven't you, right, Lewis?
Yes, well, I've beaten the champion, but I've yet to capture any legendaries beyond that point. So I've kind of sat it down for now. Mm. But nah.
I did finally get my Tyranitar, so that actually made me happy.
Brilliant.
Yes. I mean, that was a long little project for me, so after the game, but after about a week's worth, whatever, of just training it and sending it to the Pokemon daycare, I finally have one of my other favorite Pokemon on my staff, so sit there next with my Dragonite.
Oh, you've just reminded me. I've not been back to the daycare.
Oh, no.
They're still there. I can't even remember who I dropped.
You're acting like you to the point whenever you're at a job and you realize, oh no, I left my kids at the school for 3 hours. What have I done?
I feel really bad.
What?
They're just sitting patiently waiting.
Watch you come back, whatever. It's like, oh, you want your Pokemon back, whatever? Oh, here you go, whatever. It's like, oh, we have these eggs here. I'm like, what did you do?
Just a pile of eggs. Mm. Does anyone have anything to add about their Pokemon X and Y catch-up?
Well, I've actually discovered something kind of interesting that I didn't know about the online. And I don't know if this has happened to you guys, but I had this experience with a player where he wanted to see, like, my PR video, and then he wanted to trade and battle and all sorts of things in Pokemon. And after we do enough things, it says, do you want to register this person as a Nintendo 3DS friend in your actual friend list? And I was like, sure, I guess. And we were actually 3DS friends, you know, so we could play Mario Kart together, for example, or,
yeah,
you know, any other online game for that matter. And I've actually done that, like, 3 times now. I have a lot of new 3DS friends because of that. Have either of you experienced that?
I'll be honest, I haven't, but that sounds like a great feature. I didn't even know they had the tools to, you know, reach out and grab the system friend list. But that's good to hear. That's a good system. I'm not sure if any other games have been using this.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, it's good to know that's in there. So out of the various different, like, online bits, what seems to be the one you're using the most?
As for me, honestly, it's probably the trainer PR videos. I get people asking to see mine quite frequently, and then I ask to see other people's.
Yeah, that's cool. I've not really dabbled in that too much. When I first saw the feature, I kind of had a good stab at it, but when I got about halfway through, I realised how much time it was taking and thought I should probably go off and be actually fighting some Pokemon now, so I kind of just dropped it. But yeah, it seems to be a good thing to do once you've completed the game. Focus some efforts and get a decent PR video together. Show it online.
Yeah, it is time consuming, but I find myself really absorbed in it when I go in there to create, like, a new video. And I've created 2 really cool ones. I mean, you can get you can do auto and have it auto create one for you, but those are kind of silly.
Yeah.
Making your own is far better. And I have found it really enjoyable watching other people's videos and things like that. I don't battle much online. I trade once in a while, and That about sums up my experience.
Have you been doing many or any wonder traits? The random traits?
Not lately. I used to do a lot of them, but then I heard, my brother told me there was this rumor that a site was creating, you know, cheated Pokemon to make them stronger, and if you got one of those Pokemon through Wonder Trade, it would turn into a bad egg that would completely consume all of your Pokemon and all of your boxes and essentially ruin your game. So I haven't been doing it much lately, but I used to do it quite frequently.
Yeah, that's a bit of a scary rumor. Yeah, hopefully it's not official.
Yeah, I'm just kind of paranoid, which is why I've been staying away, but I'm sure that, you know, most people are still just having a typical glitch-free experience on Wonder Trade, so that's good.
Okay, yeah, I think we'll move on to the next item on our list, which will, I think we'll be hopping on to something else afterwards. Has either of you two managed to play the Phoenix demo from the eShop?
You recommended that to me, and I have not gotten, well, haven't really gotten a law into that at the moment, but, you know, it's just, one game I did pick up right now, but I barely touched, was this month's Club Nintendo offer, whatever, was Dylan's Rolling Western. And, one for that, whatever, is, and one thing I've seen with this character is, I've actually kind of see this Dylan, this character, whatever, to be in the next Smash Brothers.
Oh, is it that good?
Yeah, well, it's a tower defense game. I mean, obviously, it's been out for about a year or two right now, and I know it has a sequel that just came out, I think, earlier this year. But my opinion on tower defense games is they vary, but as far as when it comes to copycats, you usually get the same. I mean, one game in particular was the, what was it? It was on Xbox Live Arcade, the South Park defense, like Tower Defense Go title from about, when did this come out? 4 years ago. And okay, that was a little bit hit or miss with me because it was more of a nostalgia trip, basically, for the show myself, for the show in itself. And I don't know. It's just, this one is, it's a combination of an adventure title and, you know, in a like a tower defense game. And, you know, for a small eShop title, it's kind of visually, you know, I mean, it's no slouch.
Oh, brilliant. So was this the first of the two games you picked up?
Yes, this is the first one.
No, that's cool. It did look like an interesting title, but no, I haven't actually played it. It did seem to have quite good graphics as well for a...
It did. You know, it really does.
So, yeah, well, he's had two games so far, so you never... the fact that there are so many, he probably would make some sort of cameo in the next Smash game, in one form or another.
It's not that, I may see it as a, him as a, like, an assist trophy, if those make a return.
Yeah, certainly, I mean, and even if he doesn't make the rank for assist trophy, I'm sure he'll be just a regular trophy somewhere to unlock. Because there are many, many of those. Okay, the next thing on the list is Wii Sports Club, which is a, obviously, the free download, freemium model game, which came on the eShop last week. Holly, have you picked this one up?
I have.
Okay, and so far we've got tennis and bowling. Did you manage to test both of those on the 24-hour free trial?
Yes, although I actually paid for both games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I tried out the online mode with tennis, and that did not... I mean, I've only tried it once, and you've probably heard rumors online that, you know, it occasionally will lag really bad. Well, the one time that I tried playing online, it lagged really, really badly. And so after that, I didn't even want to give it another try. But local play is pretty fun. I'm not a huge fan of the Motion Plus controls because it's almost like they're too sensitive. Like, you swing once, kind of hard, like you would in a real tennis game, and the game feels like you just swung like 5 times, and your little character will swing like a bunch of times when you just only swung once. So I don't know if that explains what I'm trying to say, but not a huge fan of that. But there are some really cool new moves that you can do. If your opponent hits a really bad shot, you can actually smash it, and it's really hard to recover from someone smashing it onto your side. So, and there's a couple other neat tricks that you can do, and the training mode's all right too. So
yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, I also picked up the free download, as it were, and I have to agree with you. The actual controls, the new Motion Plus controls for tennis, at least seem odd or off when you first play it. Now, playing a couple of games, I got more used to it, and what actually helped out a bit was going through those training modes. Because they deliberately make you do certain types of shots, deliberately making you place the ball in, you know, certain parts of the opponent's side. And it's by, you know, trying to do that, you kind of find out some of the little tricks they've added in. So, for example, you can kind of just, you know, hop the ball, you know, and add more height to a shot, or you can, you know, tilt it in a certain way and, you know, aim the ball in to a certain position, whereas you didn't have that level of control on the original Wii Sports. But I do agree, it does seem a little off, because it seems it's almost half Motion Plus, half classic controls, because it gets to a certain... I guess a certain force of when you're shaking the remote that it then goes into the swing. So you kind of angle up and then you just do generic swing. And that's kind of when the little Mii character kind of, you know, just shakes the racket from one side to the other. And when you would used to kind of shake the remote before and it would just, you know, rattle it back and forth, it's kind of using that old animation. And it seems a bit off with the fact that the rest of it's in Motion Plus. But yeah, I've kind of got used to those controls, and I do think now that they are an improvement. I don't think it is a step down, but it does take a little while to get used to. But it may be the case that people who haven't played the original Wii Sports Tennis just get on with it fine. I think it's possibly that I was trying to play it like the original, but because it is Motion Plus, technically the motions you got used to before aren't going to work anymore, because you were using more inaccurate controls. And I guess most people kind of game the system unintentionally to their advantage. But yeah, I like tennis, and my first online game wasn't great. However, I had further luck playing it since, and I've played quite a few games online, and since the first game, it's been completely lag-free, it's been nice and fast, and yeah, it's a pretty good experience. I mean, there isn't any voice controls to it, but what you can do, kind of what Nintendo started in the Wii era, really, you can map very basic kind of sayings to the D-pad. So you've got four kind of things you can say, where, you know, like, you know, good shot, poor luck, and things like that, and you can change them around. But there's also quite a bit of a Miiverse integration in this. When you're actually playing the game on the TV, on the gamepad, you'll have different posts from Miiverse, and sometimes when you finish a game, it will ask you to leave a comment about your game, and sometimes it'll ask you to leave a comment about a specific situation. For example, if a person, I guess this one's more applicable to bowling, if someone has a perfect game, you can write a specific post for that, so when that situation happens, your post may pop up on their screen. So it's cool how it gives you these kind of direct instructions, and then you're going to get these more interactive Miiverse posts pop up in relevant context. So yeah, tennis was more of a mixed bag of the two, but bowling seemed pretty much an all-rounder. But then again, they didn't have much to do, because we essentially had a very similar game in Wii Sports Resort. Did we all, I guess, play the Wii Resort version of bowling?
Yes, and I was very well pleased. Again, I mean, what Holly mentioned was about how it just feels too right, but in this one, it gets it down, whatever, to the point where, as far as precision, and this one, in case, you know, just taking the next step, whatever, as far as, you know, putting this online, something that is able, I mean, getting requests from people from Twitter, whatever, asking, like, you know, that I network with, like, hey, when are we going to be playing Wii Tennis or Wii Bowling on Wii Sports Club? It's, and being lazy, I just haven't got into it yet. I don't know what my deal is.
I do have a bone to pick, though, with the actual online system. And it's not the lack of voice chat or anything like that. The online is region locked. So I can only play guys or girls, as it were, in Europe. Unfortunately, I will not be able to play an online match against yourselves. And that is very sucky.
This upsets me. This upsets me a lot.
Yeah, it's a bizarre move. I mean, it might be a technical reason, because there were a lot of Miiverse posts saying they had laggy games despite this restriction. So perhaps if it was opened up, it would just be a lot worse experience. But I would like to have the option to, you know, do a friend versus friend match regardless, and just see what the outcome is.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd play with if not you, Lewis.
It is strange. I'm not sure if there's any workarounds I can put in place to intervene this. But the current system, I can't think of an excuse for Nintendo on this one, unfortunately. Beyond, you know, they want to make sure everyone has a decent experience, but
I want to face Lewis. Nintendo, I'm listening to this right now. Lewis should have a score to settle on this.
Yeah, thankfully, Pokemon is not region locked, but then it is turn based.
And I've yet to battle you in that right now.
This is true. There are many 3DS games online yet to play. We'll settle these scores one day. So yeah, we don't know which games are coming up next, at least in the order. But obviously we've got tennis and bowling now, and we're going to be getting golf, boxing, and baseball.
I really hope boxing's mechanics are a little bit improved in this one, because I know from the original Wii Sports that was one I had fun. I mean, I liked the concept at first, but it just grew tiring so fast.
Yeah, I think boxing is going to be the... I reckon it's going to be the last game to come out of the set. And I also think it's going to be the one which has the most overhaul to it. I think they're going to have a two Wii Remote scheme opposed to Wii Remote and Nunchuck. Just because there will be no point doing Motion Plus just for one of your hands and not the other. Because obviously the Nunchuck has not been improved. And the other thing is, boxing, at least to my memory, didn't have any kind of alternative modes. So they will be fun to check out. And obviously the online as well. It will be interesting to do online boxing, even if it is region locked. It might limit the my actual people I can play against. I might as well just pop down the road to a mate of mine I know has a Wii U, who's the only other person I believe who's in this country actually on my friend list. Everyone else is from America. Yeah. So yeah, I think that about sums up for Wii Sports Clubs. Before we do move on to the next one, So, Holly, you purchased both of the sports, and I'll be honest, I did too as well. Just wondering if did you do it like before the trial ran out, or did the trial actually convince you? Did you think you were going to kind of buy them beforehand? Would you rather have just all the sports came out in the box and bought them that way? What do you think about this kind of new freemium model Nintendo's trying?
Well, the trial is a very good idea, but I admit I didn't even take advantage of the trial. I was just kind of planning on getting them because when the Wii first came out, my family got it, and we still have that Wii. It's like the family Wii, and that's the Wii that I had, you know, Wii Sports with. Later on, I got my own Wii, and now I have the Wii U, and I never got my own copy of Wii Sports. Oh. So I thought, this is a perfect opportunity to get all the Wii Sports games, because I really liked them on the Wii.
No, I agree with you as well. I think, to be fair, I mean, Wii Sports itself does get a lot of credit in various places, but I still think it's a very unappreciated game in the grand scheme of things. I think it's an absolute masterpiece of the game, as basic as it is in some areas, but I think that's a lot of its charm. But yeah, it's just a very original game, and obviously I was going to say something about how it had a big effect on the industry, but that's doesn't really matter in the matter. It's just a really good game, Wii Sports, and yeah, just to have these modern versions, it is annoying. Is that region locked online? But even just having it in HD with the Motion Plus and the bells and whistles, just having it on the menu all the time, I think that's pretty cool, because I still rock out Wii Sports every now and again. So we're going to move on from one, I'm not sure how to title these, but from one game which has Wii in the title to another game which has Wii in the title for the Wii U. Coming out in a similar freemium model, we have Wii Fit U. So this is currently on the eShop as a free download, and it's going to be till the end of the year. And at the point you download it, you have 30 days to try out the entire game. And also, what's now in physical stores is something called the Fit Meter, a pedometer-like device. If you buy that for, I believe, either $20 or £20, you can unlock the full version of Wii Fit U. So I have myself downloaded Wii Fit U. I mean, it was free. I got a balance board, and hey, it's from Nintendo, so it makes sense for me to download that. I'm actually quite impressed with the overall package so far. I'm also pleasantly surprised the amount of new balance games they've included. A lot of them are generally quite fun. Not all of them use the gamepad, but yeah, some do use the gamepad, and they're using it in some very interesting ways. It's like almost those original concept videos of the Wii U, and some things you wouldn't necessarily think would come to life. But it is odd, in a good way, using, you know, the balance board and the gamepad, and some games using the remote. It is using kind of all their kind of controller range at this point, because yeah, some games you do control with like a Wii Remote in both hands, how I think like the boxing game is going to work. And in some games you use a Wii Remote and a Nunchuck as well. But yeah, overall, balance games aside, it is essentially Wii Fit Plus. So it takes everything from the Plus game, it adds in these extra games. There's a new category of exercises called dances, which I've not actually yet tried, but they're the ones which use a Wii Remote in both hands. And they also have to both be, apparently, a Wii Remote Plus. So it would be interesting to see how well that works. But what I think is the real advantage of this version is it just has a much more modern kind of menu system. And although that seems so kind of mundane or basic to, you know, thing to say is probably the best thing about the package, because it is essentially a fitness application, as well as having some fun games you can play on it, the original game I felt fell flat because you couldn't build routines. You would just have to play one game, and then you would have to come out of it and select something else, go in that, and play that, and go out and do something else. And the fact you would be so much starting and stopping, you would be spending, ironically, most of your times in menus than you would be doing exercises. So Wii Fit Plus brought in those routines, but it was quite basic. You could only set up a couple of them, and they could only be so long. But this one takes it a whole nother step further. Not only can you do your own customized routines and so on, you can also get the system to build them for you if you tell it what you actually want to work on, whether you want to say you want to work on your belly, or you want to, you know, get some muscles, or you want to work your legs, or if you just want to say you want a routine to help you relax. It can take kind of advice from you, and it can build a routine around that, and it's a lot more kind of snappier. And another good thing is, now when you finish either an exercise or a game or anything like that, it pops up on your screen suggesting other things you can try. So you can just jump from one to the other without even having to, you know, kind of go out of the of kind of what you were doing. You don't have to go back into that main menu. You can just keep jumping from one thing to the next. So yeah, I mean, as a package, it's kind of a niche audience despite how well the original game sold. I think it's, you know, absolutely top class. If it's something which interests you, and you could you probably know before downloading this, it's probably the best thing you can get for it in terms of something which plugs up to a game console. However, the fact that it is a free download, if you're one of the 60 odd million balance board owners, you should definitely, and obviously if you've got the Wii U, definitely download this trial. Again, it's completely unrestricted for 30 days, and yeah, if you like it, all you need to do is pop down to a brick and mortar store and pick up a Wii Fit Meter. And I should probably mention a little bit about the Fit Meter. So I think it was the remakes of Pokemon Gold and Silver, which came with a similar device, the Pokewalkers.
Yes, those things where my friend would put them in a washer to actually make the walk count actually go up. Or not a washer, and a dryer. He would put it in a dryer this way because he didn't feel
like... Did that work?
It did work. It did. No, I asked him, anytime I asked him, like, how do you have so many of these on here? He's like, oh, I'll show you. Opens up his dryer, throws it in there. I'm like, why didn't I think that before?
I could just imagine some sort of odd business in Japan where it just is full of washers and there's like hundreds of Pokewalkers spinning around in each.
There's no clothes in them right now. And they're like, why are there no clothes? Oh, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like how you hear... there's people who like farm gold in like World of Warcraft. It's just this factory of washers shaking around Pokewalkers so you can level up your Pokemon. That's a paid for service. Anyway, the relevance is the kind of the physical device looks almost identical from the outside, apart from it, you know, it's not painted red and white. So you got this little almost Tamagotchi-esque screen there with three little buttons underneath. And what it does is, again, it's, despite them calling an activity meter, it is essentially a pedometer with some bells and whistles. So it counts your steps, it tracks your altitude, it's got a temperature bit on there, although I'm not entirely sure what the temperature bit's for. I'm not sure if it registers it's hotter than and you're walking, that it burns more calories or something like that. But yeah, it's got some few nifty tricks on it, and you essentially, once you've done your day of activity, you can load up the game. And quite handily, you can do it just from the gamepad. You don't have to fire up the TV. And you point the two infrared bits towards each other, press some buttons, and your data comes across pretty fast. And if you saw that old Wii Fit U Direct video, you get that certain kind of graph-like view, and it will show you your, you know, peak activity of the day, and you can see if you've been, you know, climbing stairs, or if you happen to be the person in the demo, you know, climbing a mountain or whatever. And yeah, it will tell you, like, at what point you're burning the most calories and stuff. All those calories kind of go into your little piggy bank of points, the same way as if you're playing just your regular exercises or games on there. So it's nice how it's kind of all come back around, and so it can actually now, you know, keep a kind of a track of what you do inside the game and what you do outside the game. And so, yeah, it kind of all makes a lot more sense as a little system now. Am I the only kind of Wii Fit Ewer currently?
Well, I've got the game. I don't have a Fit meter yet. I actually went to the closest GameStop to my hometown, which is like an hour drive away. Not just to get, because that's also where the closest Walmart is. You know, I do my Walmart shopping, and then I go to the GameStop. And I went to the GameStop, you know, solely to see if they had Fit meters. And I asked, and they didn't. And they said that they were getting them, like, next month sometime. Oh. And I was like, what? You're a game retailer, like, specifically. You should have these things. Yeah. But they didn't. So I actually ended up ordering straight from Nintendo, like Nintendo's online store, because they're a little overpriced on Amazon at the moment. But I do have the game, and I have been enjoying it. The trampoline bounce game, which is new to Wii Fit U. I don't know if either of you have tried that yet, but oh my gosh, it is a workout.
Yep.
I must be the only one out of the podcast realm, it seems like, that has never... I've never played Wii Fit. I've never played it. Not once.
It's probably quite a good point to jump in, because I can imagine you can get a second-hand balance board from GameStop or wherever pretty cheap.
Well, yeah, but then again, I
might have to hunt around out back.
I'm very self-conscious about myself if I step on that thing, whatever, while playing the game, and it just says, oh, you're out of shape. I'm like, well, thanks for...
It will say that. It is ruthless.
And at that point, I'm like, say that again, and there's a nice little window you're going to be thrown out of.
I've got such a chubby me. It's really quite downheartening how it just transforms your normally, you know, slim, perfect me shape, and then exaggerates it out of proportion. I think it's meant to be some sort of motivation tool, but it's also crushing. But yeah, a lot of the games themselves, as well as the exercises, and again, it shouldn't be a surprise, it's kind of like this, you know, sneaking education in games, but those games can be exhausting. So you mentioned the trampoline game, which is basically a sneaky way to just make you do squats, it seems.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you played that game, did you, like, put the gamepad on the floor, or did you just, like, watch the TV?
I put it on the floor, and it's just because that's what the... It's not because that's what the game says.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't mention
like,
it.
Like, the game itself, yeah, it doesn't tell you that that's what you're supposed to do, but there were those, you know, like, previews for Wii Fit U where people were doing that, so I just thought, I guess that's the way to do it. And it really is, because on the gamepad, you see a view, like, top down, where you can see the trampoline right underneath you, and you can balance yourself on it a lot easier that way.
I did try putting on the floor, but I couldn't get used to it, at least in that session I tried it. I thought it was a bit confusing. I'm not sure if it's because I was trying to move my gaze from the gamepad screen back to the TV, and the bit I was missing in between, I'm not sure. But in the end, I think I was just kept to watching the TV while finishing that one. Have you played the kind of one where you're, you know, you're being a waiter and you got to walk back and forth to get the food and deliver it to the people in the restaurant?
I did. I played multiplayer with my little sister, and that's one of the multiplayer games.
Yeah, I haven't played the multiplayer, but I thought that was quite an imaginative game. So you were kind of stomping on the gamepad and holding... you're not stomping on the gamepad. Sorry, you're stomping on the balance board and you're holding the gamepads. And the gamepad kind of represents a tray, as it were, and you got items of food on the tray, and you got to walk up to people in the restaurant and give them the food. And it starts off fairly simple enough, but the kind of the difficulty or the slidiness of the food increases, and you get more delicate items. And yeah, that game can get quite tricky. There's quite a few quite interesting games. One of the ones which did something I didn't realise the balance board could do was the scuba diving game. Did you play that one?
I didn't. I haven't gotten around to that one yet. There's still a lot of games I haven't played yet.
So what the scuba diving one was, and at first I thought the game was just rubbish or broken, but you hold the gamepad in front of you, and kind of like the previous game, you stomp on the board back and forth to kind of the swim forward, supposed to walk, but you need to get to these treasures, and you kind of got the map on the TV, and what you're looking at on the gamepad is your view. I was thinking, but it's behind me, and I can't seem to turn around. But what you actually do, you just physically rotate on the board. So if you need to swim backwards, you are looking away from the TV and walking. But what it can also detect is when you're doing like 45 degrees, so you're kind of walking back and forth, but going completely against the middle of the boards. But it recognises it fine in that game. So you're just, you know, walking in the spot, rotating as you need to, and looking up and down on the gamepad to swim up and down. That was a very weird experience. You got this kind of full, well, beyond 360 degrees. But yeah, it's like kind of all the way round and up and down as well. But yeah, it's also one of those tiring games because you've just realised you've just been, you know, treading on the spot for 10 minutes or so while you're trying to look around. But yeah, it does look like this game also has quite a few multiplayer modes in it, or multiplayer games, I should say. I've yet to try them, but it looks like it's got, you know, more games than some packages did on the old Wii, as it were.
Yeah, there isn't. Sorry about that. there isn't a simultaneous local multiplayer still. I mean, on Wii Fit Plus for the Wii, you just took turns, you know, playing these games, and whoever got the best score was the winner. Yeah. And you could keep, you know, going around and around. So if someone does really, really poorly, they can actually try again if they really want to. That's exactly how it is with Wii Fit U. They still don't have a simultaneous multiplayer mode, which is kind of a shame, but it's all right. I had a fun time with it anyway.
Yeah, I guess there isn't a huge audience for the multiple balance boards. But it would have been fun for them to put it in, for the people who want to try it out.
Hey, there's a couple of games that use... Oh, hang on, that's the gamepad, and people probably don't have multiple of those either. So. Yeah, dang it. I was thinking of that new game. It's called Orienteering.
Oh, okay.
Have you played that one yet?
I have not, no.
Okay. It's just a gamepad-only game, and it senses... Like, you're supposed to walk... but instead of sensing you're walking, like, on the balance board, it's sensing the bounce of the gamepad. And then you have to move the gamepad around to steer your character and find certain Mii characters to win the game. And so that one doesn't use the balance board, just the gamepad, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I think we've kind of explored Wii Fit U.
Explored,
in...
yes. A little understatement
yeah.
there.
You know, a decent amount of depth to get the old scuba diving analogy back in there. And I think it's now a good time to explore the Nintendo news. We'll start off with the Wii Mini announcement for America. So
surprising here.
Yeah, obviously it started off as a Canada exclusive, if memory recalls. And then it made its way over to Europe, and now it's hitting America. Although it's not actually in sale in Japan yet, I don't believe. But the Wii Mini, which is coming to America, is going to come with Mario Kart Wii in the box. And it's going to be... come with a red controller, as the Wii Mini is a red unit, and the whole package is going to be $99. And this is replacing the actual original Wii, because that's now, I believe, officially discontinued, or plans to be in America and Europe. So the Wii Mini will be replacing the Wii. I just want to chuck this one out to you guys first. Do you reckon, what do you reckon the kind of the logic is behind this one?
I feel like it's just basically doing what they've similarly done with other consoles in the past, between, what was it, the NES2 and even the... Super NES 2, whatever, like the remodeled versions of these after once they've new consoles have been released and the original, like, you know, designs have just been discontinued. I mean, we remember when the original Wii was able to play backwards compatible with, like, GameCube games, and once that the horizontal design basically just Wii, once it was rolled out, didn't have that, you know, backwards compatibility. This one, I think, is just a short little cash grab before this is initially just finally discontinued, but my... being to this, whatever, with Wii U sales right now, is I just really hope this doesn't take even, I'm not saying substantially, but, you know, more than necessary attention away from consumers who think, like, oh, I'll pick this up, whatever, for, you know, on cheap, as opposed to a Wii U. It's just trying to get the consumer away from, you know, what Nintendo's new console is right now.
Yeah. I think this actually might be Nintendo thinking that they can make the two consoles more separate.
That too, yeah.
Although people are saying it as a bad thing, the fact that, you know, the Wii has on occasion been outselling the Wii U, Nintendo doesn't necessarily want to just cut that revenue stream. Because, obviously, if they're both selling, let's just say for argument, as well as each other, you don't want to just get rid of half of your console income. So, I think what their plan is, if they replace the model which looks very similar to the Wii U, because, you know, the Wii and the Wii U physically do look alike, especially if they're the same colour. But the Wii Mini, however, is completely different design. It's this, like, black and red box with a, you know, a top loader disc thing. And what they've also done with this one, because it's stripped out all those different, you know, non-essential capabilities, it's again, even more separate from the Wii U. So this is, you know, the budget value model. However, Wii U is the modern, the, you know, the ongoing sale. Because you said, yeah, it's removed the GameCube support, as kind of the horizontal one did. However, the Wii Mini also takes away all internet capabilities and SD card support. So it's a very basic Wii model. It's actually quite interesting how they bundle in Mario Kart, despite it being one of the better online games on the system. However, again, it's also a good local game. It has being a bundle, it's going to come with a controller, so if they do want to upgrade to the Wii U in the future, the controller, the Wii Motion controller, is going to be completely compatible. Yeah, I think they sell quite a few of these at, you know, $99 a pop. It's at broken that, you know, $100 kind of, you know, little barrier. And yeah, I think you got now got like a red box next to the kind of the black and white Wii U's. So at least they visually look quite different now. And if someone goes in and asks for the Wii, they then get a choice between a Wii Mini and a Wii U, opposed to just a Wii and a Wii U. At least they can also kind of sound a bit more different. That's just kind of my take on it, though. I think we're going to see a similar thing happen to Japan as well. What we'll move on to next is some new DLC has been announced for Pikmin 3. And the DLC is for the battle enemy section of the missions. And it works in a similar way to the first set of DLC. So there's an update for the game. If you download that, you'll get the first extra mission for free, and you can buy the rest of the pack for $1.99 from the eShop, and you can play those. And you don't necessarily have to play them in order, so you can, you know, play the DLC ones if you haven't beaten the other ones yet, although at that point you might have to question if you need to rush out and buy them. But it's good to see Nintendo adding this extra content to this sort of game, because I do think Pikmin is kind of one of the sort of perfect games to add DLC to, because it, you know, without the DLC it's a complete package, but it's also one of those franchises which can just be, you know, left for a very long time. So if they can add a bit of extra content for the people who really want to play some extra Pikmin, then yeah, I think that's a win-win for everyone. So however, I will say myself, despite, you know, really enjoying Pikmin 3, I haven't hugely got into the mission mode.
I haven't either. I mean, I applaud basically this DLC coming on here to add more to a game that I found like a relatively short, but, you know, still kind of packed with, like, between like Bingo Battle and even, like, you know, the side missions that you can actually complete in. But this one I just never really had the desire to buy right now. Not to say it's bad, just, I don't know. It just, haven't really got it.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's, I'm not sure if I'm in the minority or not, but I've been playing my Wii U quite a lot. So I think I'll come back to this when I don't have much to play. Again, when I have beaten those missions, these DLC ones, I think I'll be very appreciative of, to get, you know, just extra content for Pikmin. Okay, the next thing we're going to move on to is some positive Wii U sales numbers. I'm not sure I've said that before on this show. However, last week we've had it's not quite record-breaking, but we've had a staggering increase of Wii U sales thanks to a new Wii Party U bundle. And so on last week, the Wii U sold 38,802 units of Wii U, and this is, yeah, completely in thanks to this Wii Party U bundle, because Wii Party U itself sold 37,000 in that same week. Again, these are week sales, not so much month. So in terms of what the Wii U has been doing previously, this is absolutely huge increase. Despite the worth of giving it a percentage value, the percentage increase is 1,393% increase from the week previous. And so this made more importantly, the Wii U was the second best-selling system that week, and it was the best-selling home console in that week of Japan, because it was second only to the 3DS. So that's a pretty good week for Nintendo. So yeah, it's odd how we're talking about Wii Party U, opposed to it being the Zelda bundle, which they already have. So it seems like this had a bigger spike than Zelda, which is bizarre. Mm-hmm. But it might just be because it's, you know, it's nearer to the holiday season, and they've got a few of these bundles in the works. So yeah, I mean, if they do as well as the Wii Party U, or, you know, if Wii Party U continues its success, then yeah, that's good signs for Wii U.
It's a title like this that needs kind of help to drive sales. Yet it's okay. With the airing of this podcast, whenever it comes on, you know, PS4 will already been released and will be close to the Xbox One, like, a launch as well. And this, again, we drive this in so hard, but yet it's going to be so telling this holiday season where the Wii U is going to be. I mean, I saw an article from an economist saying that Nintendo should discontinue the Wii U by early next year. That's saying that they should suggest, or they could. Sorry, I get my words mixed up there. But this goes in line with an article that I just posted, whatever, on the site, which was from, you know, tech publication CNET, where they named the Wii U as one of the few of their holiday tech items to avoid this holiday. And it was up there with a BlackBerry mobile device and a DVD player, which I found at that point thinking, like, you're putting it alongside there. And their reasoning was, there's two consoles coming out this fall. Which one are the people going to buy? And my reasoning is, with two consoles like that, whatever it be in that price, unless you have a very high income, you know, or the money to spare, obviously, you're not going to be picking up both this holiday season. That's the reason why I felt like, you know, Nintendo is obviously not, I wouldn't say directly competing against them, against their, like, you know, Microsoft and Sony, but this goes back to the Wii, whatever the Wii. You're going to have a Wii, whatever, alongside another higher-end HD console just to complement itself. That's what I always felt like, you know, what a Wii was to me, to my 360. It complemented my 360, my 360 complemented my Wii. And that's how I'm going to feel coming into this generation, be it whenever I decide between a PS4 or an Xbox One. But going to that article, though, I mean, what I just mentioned is, like, I mean, you did see the video of the tech gifts to avoid, right, Lewis and Holly?
Oh, I haven't seen the video. I saw the article, right?
Yeah, but would you agree, though, that, I don't know, the guy who was complaining, you seen it was a little harsh, like, too harsh, or right, or were they kind of short-sighted?
I mean, it's a tricky one, really, because, obviously, we're all fans of Nintendo here. However, I mean, if you try to divorce yourself from, you know, the business side of things, the Wii U is a bit of a gamble. Obviously, you're going to get different answers depending on who you ask. I guess some amount of that could be said for the other two big companies who are launching consoles this year. But none of the big three players are kind of, you know, have secured that lead yet. It's obviously not Wii U yet. Of all three, I guess it would seem PS4 has the biggest, you know, kind of favour going. But you would be silly to outright say on launch day, this is kind of the console to put your money behind. If you're advising them in terms of money, then you might as well tell them, well, wait a couple of years, enjoy your current console. There is no rush to go out and buy any of these consoles.
Even though, when you look at it, though, they're topping pre-order sales from previous consoles, though. Their other predecessors, I mean.
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, we know anything can happen in this industry, because the PS3 had a terrible launch initially, but it's out, you know, in terms of lifetime sales, it's outselling the 360 now, despite that doing incredibly well and having a year head start. So Sony really managed to turn it round, and it might be that 6 months down the line, Xbox Ones are selling incredibly compared to PS4 for whatever has been announced in between those times. Or it might be, you know, Nintendo, where they have an early Smash Bros. Launch and some other surprise games, and, I don't know, some other bundles or whatever it's going to be. They might pull the lead. They might pull another a Wii Fit type thing out the bag. It's, you know, this craze, this thing that everyone wants to get their hands on. It could happen to any of these guys, really. I mean, knowing what sort of, you know, company Nintendo is, I don't think we're in any danger of, you know, Wii U having a very, you know, having this small lifetime. They're going to run it like they've run all their other consoles, basically. They're going to run it for about 5 years. They're going to produce, you know, as good games as, you know, as they always do. And they're going to, you carry on as normal, whether that's good or bad. Yeah, I don't think we're in any danger of them dumping the Wii U and bringing out a different successor a year down the line. They're just going to
GameCube it, as I like to call it.
Yeah, essentially. And GameCube had some fantastic games.
They did, and it seems like this software drought that we've seen from third parties is almost similar to what we've seen in the dark days of the GameCube, though. That's what itself scares me kind of early on in this console's life cycle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the third party, it's not even so much the support, which is bad. Did you hear the story this week about the latest Call of Duty Ghosts? So, obviously, this is from Activision, and they did support the Wii U, and apparently the Wii U version is pretty good. It's comparable to all the other versions, at least, and it seems to have, you know, graphics graphical, summon graphical improvements to, you know, the 360 and the PS3 versions of it. However, the PS4 version managed to outsell the Wii U version despite the system not being released. Apparently, the Wii U sales accounted for less than 1% of the all the different SKUs. So this is a company who is actually putting in support. It's a very big brand, and my guess would be they're not turning a profit on the Nintendo version. It seems we're in a very weird situation where it comes to third parties and Nintendo. We all want all these companies to support us, but it doesn't seem that, you know, the great community is going out and buying the third party stuff. So it seems that the Nintendo consoles, or at least the Wii U in the near future, is going to be a box to play Nintendo games and the occasional other game. Unfortunately, I don't think it is going to have any sort of big, ultimate turnaround to, solve the third party problem. But yeah, I think it's going to be a place to play great Nintendo games for a long time. So in the most poor of segues I can think of, a great Nintendo game coming in 2014, we've had a new character unveiled for Smash Bros. So when I say new character, a returning character. Marth is returning to Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS. And he's had a redesign in terms of his character, or at least his costume. And so his costume now comes from the DS game, which I believe was a remake of the original.
Yes.
So yeah, I think his new stylings look pretty cool. Only thing I would say was I was kind of hoping his imposter, as it were, from Awakening would be him instead. But you never know, that could be an alternative character or costume, as it seems. I'm not sure we discussed it on the show, but the male Wii Fit trainer is spotted in the game. So it looks like there's going to be some sort of costume mode, at least for the Wii Fit character. I'm not sure that's going to apply to different characters or not. So yeah.
I mean, well, would this actually hope to actually maybe see, I don't know, hopefully another, more Fire Emblem characters. Probably, who's the one?
Yeah, I'm hoping we'll get a character from the new... Yeah, I hope... Sorry, I let you go on.
No, go on.
Okay, yeah, I'm hoping we will see a character from Fire Emblem Awakening on the 3DS. Because I think that game has brought in a lot of new people to Fire Emblem, because it was, you know, just a fantastic game, and it kind of came out at the right point in time for when the 3DS was really taking off. So yeah, hopefully one of the new characters from that game will make an entrance into Smash Bros. It would be really, you know, great to see them, you know, big on HD on the big screen. Do we have any kind of Marth players here? I can't say I really use the character much. It would look cool.
Well, I'm actually the one who posted on Infendo about Marth, and it's actually mostly because he's you could actually call him my main character in Super Smash Bros. I like Link and all, and Ike in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, but I think when all's said and done, Marth is actually, like, you know, my prime character, and so I'm just really happy to know that he's returning.
It is good to see him come back.
Has anybody else found it kind of odd that Yoshi hasn't been announced?
Well, I don't think it's too odd. I'm sure he will be in the game, though. Nintendo has announced there's going to be a Nintendo Direct tomorrow about...
Tomorrow as in, today is the 11th, so tomorrow is in the 12th, so when we get this.
Yeah, about announced 3DS games. So a game which is technically announced, but we've not heard much about, is the 3DS Yoshi game. So again, I could be kind of clutching at straws, bringing up conclusions which I shouldn't be, but it is possible they'll, you know, show off some more information about the Yoshi game in this Nintendo Direct. And it also seems that the new unveils seem to coincide with some sort of information. I guess the Marth one didn't, but the Sonic one did for Lost Worlds, and we've had a couple of characters unveiled to end the game announcements. So you never know, we might see a Yoshi re-announcement sooner rather than later.
I would say probably for this Direct tomorrow. Well, I had my dates mixed up. Today's the 12th and the 13th as far as when this comes in tomorrow. Besides, everything will be announced. We don't want to be getting, like, once this podcast is out, we don't want to be getting too much, what I'm saying is too many predictions. But no, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Wii U announcements probably get into it.
Oh, okay. Just to confuse you a bit further, it's technically today for me.
It is, yes.
No, I only just spotted that. I'm trying not to get myself, you know, too hyped up about this Direct, because they've just come out and said this is about 3DS announced games, as it's worded, it is like the most unexciting Nintendo Direct. It's going to be talking about games we already know about. Yeah, whether it's unfortunate or not, you never know. They can drop a bombshell every now and again.
It's, yeah, you know, you expect probably something for a Wii U-esque, probably. Maybe we might see that soon, or maybe a concrete Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze release date in February.
Yeah, I think we will just find out just some more details. I think there's going to be a big focus about the new Zelda A Link Between World games, because obviously that one comes out next week.
Oh, by the way, and right before the show even started was a few reviews have been kind of trickling in for A Link Between Worlds, and Game Informer just recently gave a review for it and gave it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, that's fantastic. So yeah, that comes out on the 22nd. So as we're recording this next Friday. So it's not too long now, and the fact there's a Nintendo Direct coming up, as it were. Yeah, I can imagine a fair portion is going to be around that. And I reckon we'll probably, you know, get some more information about the Yoshi game. So we'll probably get some more titles about the recently announced Kirby game. And we've still got Mario Golf and a few other bits and pieces I'm sure they'll fill in the details for. So I think it's about time we move on to our final segment. And almost in celebration of this new Zelda game, which is going to grace our portable systems, we have a small retrospective about the portable adventures of The Legend of Zelda. I'm going to go through the list in chronological order. And then we're just going to have a little discussion about our experiences playing the portable Zelda adventures. And so the first portable Zelda game was Link's Awakening for the original Game Boy in 1993. And then in 1998, they did a follow-up game for the Game Boy Color, Link's Awakening DX. Then on the same system, in 2001, we had, I believe, the first and only dual release of a Zelda game on the same day, with Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages. Then on the first Game Boy Advance game we had a port of A Link to the Past, which was also the first inclusion of Four Swords, which was a multiplayer-only mode in the game. A couple years later, in 2004, we had a re-release of the original Legend of Zelda on a Game Boy Advance cart, and in the same kind of package, well, sorry, not the same package, at the same sort of time, we also had Zelda 2 Adventure of Link. Now, in the same year, we had a brand new Zelda game with the Minish Cap, and a couple years later, we moved over to the DS, where we had the touch-based Phantom Hourglass, and 2 years after that, it was followed up by another touch-based Zelda game called Spirit Tracks. The next one here is a special item on the list because it was the only download-only game. We had a special anniversary edition of Four Swords for the DSi and the 3DS, which released in 2011. And in the same year for the 3DS, we had the Ocarina of Time 3D. And then that brings us all the way up to November's 22nd game of A Link Between Worlds. So, just running down this list here, I think I've played almost all of the main Zelda games here. The ports, I haven't. But, yeah, the unique portable adventures, I've at least played. I've not completed them all. What does it look on your sides?
Mine, obviously, Link's Awakening, Link's Awakening DX, Oracle Seasons, Ages, Link to the Past, plus Four Swords. Never really did pick up Legend of Zelda on the Game Boy Advance, the NES Classics, because I, at that time,
yeah, it wasn't a great value.
Yeah,
I think.
$20 for something like that where I could easily find for $10 somewhere else. But same thing with the Adventure Link. The only titles on here I did not play, though, were Minish Cap and Spirit Tracks. And my reasoning for Spirit Tracks, though, was I never really liked the Zelda DS titles. I mean, the concept for having controlling Link on with the stylus, you know, to move around as in an analog motion was great on paper, yet there were those Phantom Hourglass is one of those titles that really kind of did not catch my lost my interest so quickly in any like portable Zelda title out there. I mean that seems like sacrilege as far as portable Zelda titles, but I mean the truth. It really just did not grab my attention on there as far as anything else when it came to a top down view of Zelda title. Now Minish Cap, that was just one I just never really grabbed it the minute. I've been kind of scouring eBay and everything, trying to find it, whatever. I know it's easily found, but I just never really got around to it. And yet it's still, I think, referred to as, like, the last boss battle, I think, in the end of the game. Is probably out there as one of the toughest Zelda, like, final boss battles out there.
So, you didn't happen to get the, got what they called it now, but when the 3DSs first came out, and then they had the price drop, and they rewarded people who initially had the system by giving them a set of download games.
Yeah, Image Camp was part of that ambassador program.
It was, yeah. There was a bunch of, surprisingly, yeah, a bunch of Zelda games. Because it also included, I think it was both The Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2?
No, that was in the, I think the NES ambassadors, but for the Game Boy Advance ones, which you had like 10 of them, I think A Link to the Past was on there as well.
No, actually, I don't think A Link to the Past was... But yeah, I think we had the Nintendo Entertainment System versions of Zelda and Zelda 2. So, I mean, although they were those older Nintendo versions, I mean, technically you're playing on a portable, so they kind of can. So, I mean, you have access to quite a lot of Zelda games on the 3DS, which is quite cool. Including, you know, some of the ones you might not have been able to use because they were released as GBA carts. You can download the Virtual Console versions instead. So Holly, any particular title on this list that you've had fond memories of? Or
well, my favorite one is probably Ocarina of Time 3D, just because I'm partial to 3D Zeldas. Very partial to 3D Zeldas. I have never been a big fan of top down 2D Zelda games, but I guess I just kind of want to mention that I played Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks. And, Phantom Hourglass was okay. Spirit Tracks was a great improvement, not only in, gameplay, but also music. Like, I'm a huge music fan. And the music in Spirit Tracks is probably some of my favorite Zelda music of all time. Whereas Phantom Hourglass... I can't even think of a single song in Phantom Hourglass that I really liked.
I think I might have to check out the old soundtrack now of Spirit Tracks. Yeah, just for you to say it has great music in one of these, Zelda games, and it really must be good. I was just wondering if any of you was your first Zelda game was a portable game?
My first Zelda was Zelda 2. My first portable was Link's Awakening, obviously. But, I'm trying to think. I think Link's Awakening was my second Zelda I played, and I didn't end up playing Link's Past until, late in the Super Nintendo's life cycle.
So, I think I'm fairly unique in this situation then, but yeah, my first Zelda game was the original Game Boy, Link's Awakening. And after playing that, then I went to play the Super Nintendo version. But yeah, I can just remember kind of playing Link's Awakening on the Game Boy Classic and just being absolutely amazed at the size of the game. Because the other sorts of games I was playing on the Game Boy were almost what you would consider, app-like games now. They would only have, a handful of levels at most, or it would be a game built on some sort of some sort of mechanic where the game just keeps going on and on. But isn't a world, as it were. So yeah, this really took me aback. It had, this fantastic music. What Link's Awakening has as well is, just kind of really good, sense of humour, as it were. It's got this really nice feel going through the game. There's a lot of quirky moments and odd characters. And it was definitely the first Game Boy game, which just made me feel like I was going on a grand adventure. And, I mean, again, a lot of the things that really impressed me as a kid while playing this game, I guess, was just something which would come from Zelda games in general. So I was impressed about, the dungeon designs and how you have to, really solve these sort of puzzles to get through them, and they had, challenging bosses. Yeah. It was just a game which had absolutely everything.
And this is one thing that gets me excited, especially for Link Between Worlds, is I think it's... obviously Skyward Sword kind of gave that small groundwork for how 3D Zelda should be done as far as control, but I think with the Link Between Worlds, though, with it coming out, is it's kind of laying a foundation as far as when how to progress in the game. And yes, you from the like I said with the Game Informer review, when it was given a 10 out of 10, a few quips from the review, like snippets from the review, mentioned that, one, you can rent items, which has been, we've been told, but from a previous Nintendo Direct, but also, even if you rent these items, dying in the game is a little bit more feared in these versions, because I think you obviously lose these items. But also, we can finally, progress to dungeons in any order we want. And I'm really interested to see how this is going to work, and see if this does, hopefully this is not thrown away, but, you know, just to kind of give it Zelda series a more non-linear feel.
Just thinking about it, I wonder how they kind of handle all this kind of... I imagine there could be, like, a frustration element on that. Because if you're using, like, you've rented one of the key items of the dungeon, and then you die at, say, the boss of the dungeon, if you, it's going to just kick you back to your village or the start of the dungeon without your items, and you're going to have to run off and fetch enough rupees to rent that item again to get back in the doors. I'm wondering if there's, like, any sort of mechanic they've put in place, like, because you would get that item in the dungeon anyway, you kind of earned it when you get to, a certain way through. But yeah, I mean, I'm personally just excited for the change. A lot of Nintendo franchises stick to a very strict structure for their said franchise. And anything to break that up is a real boom in my book. So yeah, the fact it seems you can head off to any dungeon you want, that's going to be quite cool. And especially if you're just talking to other people playing the game, if they're playing like a completely different dungeon to you, yet, you know, you're both on your first dungeon, it's just going to be, it's a very different Zelda experience. That's going to be very cool. I'm very much looking forward to that.
But out of all the 3D, but portable Zelda games, which one's our favorite? I mean, if I had to pick one, though, it obviously is my first foray into the series, and, portable gaming is, Link's Awakening. To me, it was obviously one of those first, Game Boy titles that was so huge in scope as far as to even fit onto a cart that, it made it feel like what a Game Boy at that time could actually do, taking a grand adventure that we'd seen probably in a, well, the top-down view, is, as I'm saying, is from, like, Link to the Past, how that was implemented, and how it could be implemented on a portable device. It just helped usher in a new way of how to do adventure games on that portable.
So I've got a question for you, Harrison.
Yes.
Firstly, did you ever steal from the shop in Link's Awakening?
All the time.
Okay. Second question is, did you discover that yourself, or did you kind of find out about it before you did it?
I found out about it. That was it, and I just wanted to see how it would probably do, and...
Okay. I guess when I was playing the games, I wasn't really going to internet websites, or I guess, we're probably talking about magazines, to be fair. But yeah, just kind of discovering that, I thought that was very cool back in the day. Because at first of all, I kind of almost glitched the game. It wasn't something you're meant to do, because it's not something, I've done in any other game before. Because it's, you grab the item, you take it to the shopkeep, but, you can run around his counter and he'll keep watching you. But if you kind of do it just right, he'll won't follow you around the corner. You can sneak out the door. But, yeah, what really shocked me, because I hadn't heard about this, I didn't immediately go back into the shop. And so when I eventually did go back into the shop, and, the shopkeep's just kind of in front of, just in, right in the centre of the store looking at you, opposed to being on his counter... And then I can't remember what he says to you, but then he blasts you with this kind of big ray out of his hands.
I like how you say that,
hands.
He just blasts you, wow.
It does, it's like the most powerful attack in the game almost, it's this giant blast of laser comes down and it makes you faint. I think it drains all your hearts and you get a game over and you have to continue. But from that, I'm not sure it's from that point on or for when you take the item, whenever anyone mentions your name, they call you Thief, opposed to whatever you typed in. And yeah, again, I didn't know of any games at the time which did that, and I'm not sure of many or any which do that nowadays. But it's quite cool that, it let you do it, but if you did, people are going to know about it and they're just going to call you a thief. And I mean, there's no technical downside of that in the game, but it might grate on you. And you might wish you hadn't stolen that item and you actually saved up for it. So yeah, if it was way back in 1993, I think that was a very cool thing to put in there. So yeah, for me, Link's Awakening is going to have to be my best portable Zelda game.
Now we can only hope for that Majora's Mask 3D remake that we've been clamoring for.
Yeah, well, apparently there's some sort of tie-in to the new Link's Between World of Majora's Mask. Obviously, I think we've mentioned it before, because obviously Majora's Mask itself makes a little cameo in the store, but apparently it's more... there's another layer to it.
Speaking of cameos, I did notice that a Zelda item makes a cameo in Call of Duty Ghosts. It's a rupee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forgot where in the game exactly it is, but Oh boy.
Can you collect it?
I think you just shoot at it, which doesn't surprise me, the things that you shoot in that game.
I was wondering if it, like, an extra stat goes unlocked in the options menu, it shows you how many rupees you picked up.
Yeah, no, you collect it and it constantly tells you how much it's worth.
Yeah, well, as a Skyward Sword mana.
This is worth 10, it's worth 10 rupees. I'm like, I get it, I've collected 50 of these.
Yeah, you may not have noticed, but I have played this game before. Despite me turning it off and turning it back on, I haven't completely forgotten everything about the game. So, how about yourself, Holly? Which would you say is your favourite portable Zelda game so far? Oh, would you say it was... sorry, I think you might have already mentioned it. Is it Ocarina of Time 3D?
Yeah, if that's not cheating.
No, it still counts. It's on the list. To be fair, I mean, are there any... I guess Majora's Mask onwards. But I think all the games before that are also represented on the portable now, aren't they? So obviously we got the original, we got the second game, we got Link to the Past, and obviously that would take us up to Ocarina. So yeah, Ocarina and Back are all represented on the portable, which is pretty cool. And hopefully we will have Majora's Mask one day on there.
Well, yeah, fans have been demanding it, and I think we will eventually get it.
And also, it just as a boring reason, it kind of just makes good business sense. They've got the engine there. It wouldn't take a huge amount of work to do. It will sell very well. It will definitely turn a profit. And it makes a lot more sense doing that than doing a HD remake of it, which would take a long, long time and a lot of resources.
Yeah, I think the only home console Zelda I'd like to see an HD remake in would... I don't know, maybe Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword, one of those. At a right price, of course.
Yeah, I think we'll probably see Skyward Sword as a HD remake, just because it would be one of the easier ones to do. Because I think people have it up and running on, like,
yeah,
the Dolphin.
It's like Homebrew or something like that. I think they have those easily. I mean, and the difference is that it's just amazing. You don't see those jagged edges so that populate the game.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously they still fully support, you know, with the Wii Motion Plus controller. So, yeah, I can see that. You never know. They might chuck it in like a... Actually, I'm not sure if they would need to, as like a pre-order bonus for the next big Zelda game, in a similar way they did the collector's discs for when they did Wind Waker. They might do something in that vein.
That I could see as well. That, I mean, that's actually a bad idea. Make it as like a Club Nintendo offer or something like that.
So yeah, they don't have to touch any of the text at all. They just need to literally put it, you know, just increase the resolution and just let the game be as it is at that point. You obviously put that bug fix in which they had. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice if they tidied up some things like they did with Wind Waker. I mean, that game you could sure do with, you know, just chopping some bits out, in my opinion. I honestly think just removing a few tedious bits from that game would just make it a better game. But that's neither here nor there, really. But yeah, I'm really excited about Link Between Worlds. I will probably pick it up for download it. Sometime next week.
I say, yeah. Oh, we do get it soon. I forget. How the Christmas season is upon us right now.
So, both myself and you guys, it comes out on November 22nd. Oh, do I? So yeah, we will both be getting that on the same date, which is, it's good to see Nintendo do. We finally got there with these kind of world launches. It's been a long time coming. I remember the days having to wait, you know, months on ends. Sometimes they're even worse. In the very early days, sometimes it was years.
Jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, well, same day releases across America and Europe. I think that's a nice positive note I think we can end the show on. Unless anyone has anything else to say about the portable Zelda games.
Well, one thing we'd like to end on here right now is to kind of mention an absence of one of our co-hosts, Scott. Scott will still be here contributing to the site, but unfortunately to work and, you know, well, real-world conflicts, he will not be able to join us anymore for the foreseeable future.
But yeah, I hear he may be able to make a special appearance in a special show in the
special,
the not-so-near future.
A very special show.
Yes.
Special number, too.
Indeed. Well, unfortunately, we can't tell you any more than that, but we do have something special in the works for a special show.
Because of special number. Indeed. Shh. Shh. Quiet. Shh.
We'll give out the contact address where you can whisper type questions to us, which we can answer on the upcoming show. You can do it in the smallest font you can find, but we'll be listening. to hear your questions, you send them across to contact@infendo.com. Also, if you're listening to this in the browser, feel free to leave your comment in the comments box on the website itself. So for now, this is all from myself, Harrison, and Holly, and we'll see you next time on Infendo Radio.
Later, everybody.
See you guys.
See you later.